growing up in a Christian home. I was lucky. I have had Christian parents that raised me in a strong Bible-believing church, and I've loved the Bible for as long as I can remember. And I've always loved to read the Bible. You know, I've read from cover to cover in the Scriptures many times. I've done all kinds of different kinds of Bible studies, and you know, there's really no wrong way to study the Bible. And I was thinking about some of the ways that we can study the Word of God. Sometimes we do a book study where maybe we'll look at the book of Acts and we just study everything we can from the beginning of the book of Acts to the end. We learn all we can. Sometimes we do character studies where maybe we pick one person in the Bible and learn all we can about that person. You know, several weeks ago, Travis preached from Titus, and he kind of took us on a quick survey of all the verses that mention Titus and what we could learn about Titus. That's another way to study God's Word. A book of the Bible at a time, a character at a time. You can focus on different themes. I like to do that a lot of times in our songs. A couple of weeks ago, we learned about holiness, and we looked at all, not all, but a lot of the Scriptures that talked about the fact that God is holy, and what does that mean, and the fact that we are called to be holy. So you can study a theme. One of my favorite things to do, though, is to pick like a specific word or words and study that way. Just look at every occurrence of a phrase. And today we're going to do that. I looked up the Be Strongs in the Bible. Now, years ago when you did a study like that, because, you know, when I was a wee little guy, we didn't have computers, or at least not very good computers yet. Today, if you want to do a study of Be Strong, you can type that into a Bible program and boom, it pops up every occurrence. But years ago, it wasn't always like that. You had to use books, and big books like these. This one is the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. I think they call it exhaustive because when you carry it, you get exhausted. It's so big. But basically, every word in the Bible, this book shows you where it occurs. So you could look up any phrase, any word, and you could turn to this book, and it will show you every listing of that word or phrase. And you would have to, the old-fashioned way, look them all up one at a time. So I've used this a lot over the year, the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Another one of my favorites is this. This is called the Keyword, Hebrew-Greek Keyword Study Bible. You know, as you know, the Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Well, you can look up certain English words in the Bible and find out what the Hebrew word is, or what the Greek word is, what the Aramaic word is, and figure out what that word means. And it gives you a little deeper understanding of the words of Scripture. One of my favorites that I've used over the years is the Thompson Chain Reference Study Bible. Now, this Bible, like in Genesis, where it begins with creation, it'll have a chain or a little link there. And if you follow these chains and links, you can look up every occurrence or every time in the Bible it talks about creating or creation. So that's been a fun one. You know, most of your Bibles have a cross-reference system in the Bibles, and you can do the same thing. You can look at all these verses that tie together and see how they all fit together. So I've always liked doing word studies or phrases. So today I thought we would look at the Be Strongs in Scripture. Now, years ago, back at Zohar, like probably my first year there, way back in 2003, I remember one of the first sermons I got to preach was called The Seven I Wills of Christ. And what I did is I looked up in the New Testament, anytime Jesus said, I will, well, what followed? What did he say? So one of my very first sermons was called The Seven I Wills of Christ. And I did the same thing. You know, you look up in the book, I will. Where does that occur? And then what is said? So the seven I wills of Christ were this. He said, I will never cast you out. I will cleanse you. I will acknowledge you before my Father. I will make you fishers of men. I will come to you. I will raise you up at the last day. I will take you into glory. So seven times Jesus said, I will, and that's what he said after those two words. So it's kind of a neat way to study the Bible. So today we're going to do that. We're going to look at the Be Strongs in the Bible. Those two little words, be strong, how many times? Take a guess. How many times are we told to be strong in Scripture? Just a wild guess. 100? Good guess. 35 times we see that phrase, be strong. So, we're going to look at all 35 today. Just kidding. I didn't want to keep you here till 3 o'clock. We're not going to look at all 35 be strongs. We're going to look at about 5 times, though, in the Bible where it says, be strong. Okay, so the question is, how many of you feel strong today? Like nobody? How many of you feel weak and tired? And how many of you feel anything? I'll tell you. Well, you know, I don't always feel strong, but 35 times we're told to be strong. And you know, when I hear that phrase, be strong, I always envision, okay, that's all on me. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to be strong. That's usually what I think of when I see those words, be strong. But luckily, it's a little different than what we're going to see in the Bible. So just for fun, I thought we would look up what does the word strong mean. So I pulled out another one of my hefty books, Webster's American Dictionary. And in your sermon notes, I've got some blank lines there if you want to fill in the blanks and fill in these lines. But this is what strong means according to Webster's American Dictionary. Having, showing, or involving great bodily or muscular power. Physically vigorous or robust. I'll say that one more time. Strong means having, showing, or involving great bodily or muscular power. Physically vigorous or robust. So now that you know the definition, I'll ask you again. How many of you feel strong today? Me neither. There's one hand. He feels strong. You know, I read that and I got tired reading that definition. It's like, man, that's exhausting. Physically vigorous, robust, muscular. I don't feel that way most days, you know. You wake up and, oh, my back hurts or my this hurts or that hurts. Well, luckily in the Bible, be strong is not how the world equates that definition to be strong. Before we turn to the scriptures that I've given you in your sermon notes, I wanted to share 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 27, just to tell you that the Bible has a different view of strength. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 27 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." So it's okay. If you're not feeling strong today, if you're feeling a little weak, perfect. You're in the exact place where God can use you, where God wants to use you. So, we're going to look up some of these be strongs. The very first be strong in Scripture is in Deuteronomy chapter 11. So, if you could turn there, please. We're going to read Deuteronomy 11, verses 1 through 8. This is the very first time in Scripture where we see those words, be strong. And I can tell you right now, this is a very interesting one to me. The very first time we see this, it's tied to something very, very important to the believer. Deuteronomy 11, verses 1 through 8, the first be strong in Scripture, here's what the Word of God says. "You shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His rules, and His commandments always. And consider today, since I am not speaking to your children who have not known or seen it, consider the discipline of the Lord your God, His greatness, His mighty hand and His outstretched arm, His signs and His deeds that He did in Egypt to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land, and what He did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and to their chariots, how He made the water of the Red Sea flow over them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day, and what He did to you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what He did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, son of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that followed them in the midst of all Israel. For your eyes have seen all the great work of the Lord that He did." Now, verse 8 is the key one here. "You shall therefore keep the whole commandment that I command you today, that you may be strong, and go in and take possession of the land that you are going over to possess." Now, the very first be strong. We are told to be strong by keeping God's commandments, by obeying God's word. I find that very, very interesting. If you want to be strong today, you know, a lot of people today, if they want to be strong, they go to the gym, they work out, they eat all the right foods, they walk, they run, they do all those things because they want to be strong. It's interesting to me, the very first reference to being strong is tied directly to obeying God's word, to keeping His commands. Wow. So the next time you feel weak, maybe I should get into God's word more. Exactly. You know, a lot of times you look at the scripture and it talks about how that people weren't ready for solid food. They could only take in milk because they just weren't in the word enough. The first step to being strong is be in God's word. Read it. study it, obey it, keep His commandments. I like that this scripture, verses 1 and 8 are kind of like bookends that hold everything else together, because verse 1 and verse 8 both talk about the importance of keeping God's words, of keeping His commandments. And then everything else in between is sort of held together by those two bookends. But I just love that. You shall therefore keep the whole commandment that I command you today, that you may be strong. That's the first key to being strong. Keep God's word. And you can't keep it if you don't read it. So, you know, maybe if you're feeling a little weak today, if you're tired, you're exhausted all the time, first question ought to be, how often are you in the word? Are you in God's word daily? A lot? Because if you're not, you're probably going to be weak. You're not going to feel so strong at all. So, in this passage, God's children, the first thing they were to do when you look at verse 1, they were to love the Lord your God, right? Love the Lord your God. And secondly, keep His charge, His statutes, His rules, and His commandments. That's how we are strong, when we keep and obey God's word. And I find that just so interesting, because usually you think, okay, He's probably going to say, be strong in the Lord, which we're going to get there, you know. But the very first time we're talking about strength, if you want to be strong, you've got to keep God's word. You need to obey His word. Be in it every day. Keep His commandments. And I'm as guilty as the next person. You know, we get so busy. Today's world, you know, we're running here and there. We're doing all this, running kids everywhere. And it's like, before you know it, I didn't spend time in God's word today. No wonder I'm feeling weak. No wonder I'm feeling worn out and just not where I should be. So the first one, be strong by keeping God's commandments or by obeying His word. Okay? Since you're already in Deuteronomy, go to Deuteronomy 31. We're going to look at Deuteronomy 31, also verses 1 through 8. Now again, there are other be strongs that I am skipping because we can't do all 35, so we're only doing 5 or so. But if you want to do that study on your own, there are 35 of these in Scripture. And some of them are kind of repeats of what we're going to say, but it'd be a good thing to dive into and see what you can learn. So the first one, be strong by keeping God's word or by obeying His words. The second one is Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 8. This is the word of the Lord. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God Himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head, as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as He did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when He destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So the second, be strong, in your notes there, be strong by knowing that God is with us and He will never leave us. We can be strong by knowing that God is with us and He will never leave us. Now, twice in this passage, we see those words, be strong. And talk about a time when the Israelites would not have felt strong. Moses, the only leader they ever knew, this mighty man of God, just told them, I'm not going to be your leader anymore. I'm not going with you. But don't worry, be strong. I'm sure they were like, what? I mean, this is Moses. Of course we're going to worry because he's our leader. He's all we've ever known. So I'm sure they were like, don't be dismayed. Are you kidding? Don't fear. How could you not fear when all you'd ever known is just told you, I'm not going to be with you any longer. I can't go with you. So they were not feeling very strong, that's for sure. Verse 3, I love. The Lord your God Himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you. Look at verses 4 and 5. And the Lord will do to them as He did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when He destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you. Moses never says, hey, go and destroy these nations. Good luck. He never says that. I love, you can see in those verses, the Lord your God Himself will go before you. He, God, will destroy the nations before you. The Lord will do to them as He did to these others. And the Lord will give them over to you. Never are they told, hey, be strong, you know, work hard, go and fight with all your might. He tells them, you go and God's going before you. God's going with you. God is the one who's going to fight for you. I love that. Twice in that passage, we see that be strong. The first one is in verse 6, and then we see it again in verses 7 and 8. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Don't you love that promise? God goes before us. One of the songs we sang this morning, he's the one that goes before us. He's the one that's behind us. He's the one that leads us. It's all him. Our strength is not in us. It's not in our own strength, our own efforts. It's all in God. Verses 7 and 8, be strong and courageous. For you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I love that. Their strength was not in Moses. And they made the mistake lots of times of thinking, Moses is our true strength. He's our spiritual leader. No, God is their strength. And God was the one who promised to go with them, to go before them, to come behind them, to never leave them, never forsake them. I love that verse. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So again, what are you afraid of today? You don't have to shout it out, but probably all of us have something that we fear, whether we want to admit it or not. What are you afraid of today? If you're a believer, you can be strong knowing that God is with you. God's going before you. He's behind you. He's all around you, right? That song we sang, the God of angel armies is always on our side. That's a pretty amazing thing to think about, that God, he's the one who's with us. We don't have to be afraid. And our strength is in him. It's not in us. So the first two we looked at, how can you be strong today? We can be strong by keeping God's commandments or obeying his word. Secondly, by knowing that he is with us and he'll never leave us. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 32. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 here as well. 2 Chronicles 32, verses 1 through 8. This is a very interesting one as well. We're going to need a little background on this, but let's first read these first 8 verses in 2 Chronicles 32. After these things and these acts of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah and encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and intended to fight against Jerusalem, he planned with his officers and his mighty men to stop the water of the springs that were outside the city, and they helped him. A great many people were gathered, and they stopped all the springs and the brook that flowed through the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" He set to work resolutely and built up all the wall that was broken down and raised towers upon it. And outside it he built another wall, and he strengthened the millo, or the terraces, in the city of David. He also made weapons and shields in abundance. And he set combat commanders over the people, and gathered them together to him in the square at the gate of the city, and spoke encouragingly to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. I love this one, but it starts, we have to ask some more questions, because it says, after these things and these acts of faithfulness, well, you should think, after what things? After what things and what acts of faithfulness? Well, before Hezekiah became king, there was another king. And that king was Ahaz. Ahaz was a very wicked, ungodly king. If you go back just a couple chapters, to 2 Chronicles 28, I want to read verses 1 through 4. It kind of tells us what Ahaz was like. In 2 Chronicles 28, verses 1 through 4, it tells us, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He even made metal images for the Baals. And he made offerings in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burned his sons as an offering, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. And he sacrificed and made offerings on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. So Ahaz was a very wicked king. He involved the people in idolatry. They even were sacrificing their children to these idols and false gods. He was a wicked, wicked king. Ahaz did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if you look at 2 Chronicles 29, this is when Hezekiah begins to reign. He comes in right after this wicked king. So 2 Chronicles 29, verses 1 and 2. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. So when Hezekiah gets to the throne, he tries to return things to the way they once were. Ahaz had just taken the nation into severe idolatry and wickedness, and when Hezekiah comes to the throne, we know he purifies the temple. He began to celebrate the Passover again. All these things. So one more quick verse in 2 Chronicles 31, verses 20 and 21. I want you to look at that with me. 2 Chronicles 31, 20 through 21. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. And every work that he undertook in the service of the house of God and in accordance with the law and the commandments, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. Now, you might be thinking, why is that so important? What does this have to do with being strong and courageous? Well, to me, I look at that and think, here's a guy who was a godly man. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He purified the temple. They started celebrating the Passover again. Got rid of all the idols, the high places. Did all the things he should have. He was worshiping God. He was following God closely. You might think, he has nothing to fear, right? He's doing what he should. But my point is, that is often the time when we need to be on the lookout the most. You know, when you are faithfully serving God, when you are reading the Scripture, when you're doing all those things, Satan hates that. That's the time when he's often going to attack us the most. And that's exactly what happens here. I think oftentimes in the church, we have the idea that, hey, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, I'm going to Sunday school, I don't have anything to be afraid of. No, you do. That's when you need to be afraid the most sometimes, because Satan just hates that. And so here Hezekiah is, he's returned Israel to where they should have been, faithfully serving God, and that's when he is attacked. So that's when he is attacked. After these things and these acts of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah and encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them for himself. So be on the lookout. Just because you're reading God's word, just because you think you're doing what's right in God's eyes, don't think that you can't be tempted, because that's oftentimes when temptations come the most. And that's what happens to Hezekiah. Now, I like what he does here. Hezekiah, you know, some people make the mistake of saying, well, if I have to be strong in the Lord, then I don't have to do anything. No, I'm not saying that either, because notice what Hezekiah does first. He gathers all of his wise counsel together, and they do some things. He blocked off the water sources outside the city, thought, why should this king come and have water and be able to attack us easier? So they blocked up the water sources. He repairs all the broken sections of the wall. He rebuilt the towers. He did all those things, which is good. So that's a lesson to us that, hey, you know what? Even though we trust God, we read his word, we follow his word, we still also need to participate in this. It's not our own strength, but we can do certain things, knowing that the real strength is of God. Because even Hezekiah didn't think that, okay, if I just rebuild this wall and stop this water, do all this, we'll be victorious. No, because he knew his real strength was still in God. If you look again at verses 7 and 8 there in 2 Chronicles 32, I love what he said. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. I love that. This was a mighty king coming against him. And it even says that the horde that was with him. So imagine this great vast army coming to attack. And he could still say, we can be strong and courageous because greater are those that are with us than with him. This man has an arm of flesh, but we have the arm of God. That's pretty powerful. So in this one, be strong by knowing that God will help us and will fight our battles. That's the third one. We can be strong by knowing that God will help us and fight our battles. I always think of 1 John 4, verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And Hezekiah knew that. He did what he could. He strengthened the walls, the cities. He did what he could, but he also knew that's not our real strength, our real hope, because our strength is in God. Because he knew that God was more, God was greater, had more power, was mightier, and that he would fight for the people. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, because with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Let's go to the next one. New Testament there, finally. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'll admit, this is the one I thought of first when I started the study on the be strongs. And this might be the one you thought of first too. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. And I think I like this one the most still because, you know, when I was a little boy, this is the whole armor of God, right? I remember, I think it was Jonah, our oldest, who's now 21. One year he got an armor. He had the helmet, the breastplate, the whole works based after this scripture. And it's a great picture of strength. So let's read Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. I love this one. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Never in Scripture does it say, be strong in the Lord and in your own strength. Never does it say that. It always says, be strong in him. It's not in our own self. That picture of a knight, you know, a knight in shining armor. What makes that knight so powerful? It's his weapons and it's also his armor, what he's wearing. You think of that picture. You know, it's a wonderful picture. He has the whole armor protects him. And as Christians, we have the whole armor of God. It listed all those for us there. We have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace for our shoes, the shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the flaming darts or arrows of the evil one, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know what's so neat about that picture there of that knight in armor? There's only one offensive weapon. Everything else really is defensive. The offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's our greatest weapon that we have to fight against Satan, to fight against the temptations that come against us. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I love that. So that's our fourth one. Be strong in the Lord and in his strength or in his mighty power. 35 be strongs in Scripture. We've just taken a look so far at four of them, right? The first one was we can be strong by obeying God's word, by keeping his commandments. That was in Deuteronomy 11. We then went to Deuteronomy 31, where we learned we could be strong by knowing that God is with us and he will never leave us. We have the assurance of that promise. The third one was in 2 Chronicles 32. Be strong in the knowledge that God will help us and will fight our battles. And then we just looked at Ephesians 6, which taught us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So we're going to look at the last occurrence in the Bible of this phrase, be strong, and that's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. This is the last be strong in Scripture. Now, we skipped over a lot. The first was in Deuteronomy 11. The last is in 2 Timothy 2. And this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing this to Timothy, his son in the faith. So 2 Timothy 2:1 says this, "You then, my child, be strengthened or be strong by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Another translation did say that exactly. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's an interesting one there. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, what exactly does he mean? How can we be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Well, first thing is, if you're a believer here, you've experienced saving grace. You've experienced that amazing grace. And without that grace, you cannot be strong. You know, people that aren't Christians can't be strong. Not the way we're called to be strong. We, as believers, because we have experienced God's saving grace, we can experience his strength. I also liked what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Now remember, sometimes we hold some of these Bible characters up on these pedestals, right? We think Paul, wow, Paul was the man that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, this mighty man of faith. But he was a man just like us, a person just like us. He had the same weaknesses and struggles that we had. And there were lots of times Paul didn't feel strong. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're told he has this thorn in the flesh. And we're told that three times he pleads with God to remove it, right? I love the response. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know, oftentimes when we feel weak, that's when we're most able to really understand God's strength. I love that. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. So that last one there, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In our own strength, we're going to fail. You know, sometimes you might do pretty well on your own, working really hard, trying your best, but eventually we're going to fail because we can't be strong in and of ourselves. You know, this world is tough. This world is a hard place. Even if you're a believer, it's hard. We have struggles that sometimes seem impossible to get through. And the question is, where are you going to find your strength? In yourself? In your job? In your finances? Maybe in your health? Problem with that is, what happens when you lose those things? What happens when your health fails, or you lose the job, or the money's gone? Your strength is no longer in yourself. We need to make sure our strength comes from God. How can we be strong? By obeying God's word, by trusting in his mighty power, by clinging to the promises that he will go before us, he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, he'll fight for us, and we can also be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I just